Well, I don't know what Ken meant by leaving me this, but it looks pretty special. My grandson, for a minute, thought we were a little bit of a Pentecostal church. He was running around the chairs. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay, because we have had our days of trouble, haven't we? Nationally, privately, in our society, in our health, we have had our day of trouble. There was a choir leader named Asaph that is credited with several of the Psalms, and it's kind of argued whether he was writing them himself for himself or if he was scribing for David. But it's kind of really irrelevant of why he was writing. What's important is what he wrote. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to Psalm 77 with me, and we're going to talk about the day of my trouble. In Psalm 77, 1 through 2, the beginning of 2, it says, "For the, my voice rises to God, and I cried aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord." Now, when He talks about the day of your trouble, it could be a day of trouble, or it could be a season of trouble, or a season of trouble that was initiated by a day of trouble. When I was young, some of you have heard this story, but when I think of my day of trouble, this was my day. It was 1973. I had just graduated from high school. I played a lot of music. A buddy of mine, and we opened for REO Speedwagon our senior year of high school. And that sounds real impressive, but they came to our school and they had nobody else to, so we did it. But I'm still bragging about it 30 years later. So Roger was his name. We got to play four songs, I think, and we were going to go off to school and we're going to continue to play music, and we ordered some new equipment from the local music store. And I was working at a filling station or gas station from wherever you're from. And I get a call from a friend of ours, Tim, and he was kind of, we labeled him our manager because he managed, I don't know what he managed, but he was our manager. And he calls me one afternoon and he said, "Roger has been in a car wreck." And I said, "Was he hurt?" He said, "He's dead." My best friend. That was my day of trouble. I'm telling you, that day of trouble extended into a season of trouble for me. Because of my depression and the stuff I went through, I made a lot of bad choices going forward. So I had a day of trouble. Our country has gone through several days of trouble in our history. I've just listed a few, and some of these you may have never heard of. Peshtigo, Wisconsin, in 1871, had this huge fire. It was a controlled burn that got out of control and burned this entire town down. Killed an estimated between 12 and 2,400 people in that fire. In 1889, Johnstown flood, the South Fork Dam busted up in, I think it was South Pennsylvania. It busted and the flood killed more than 2,200 people. That was a day of trouble for our country. The Great Galveston Hurricane of 1900. That was when my grandfather was born, was 1900. The Great Galveston Hurricane, estimated, the official report said, killed 8,000 people. That was our day of trouble in our country. Exxon Valdez, 1989, 10.8 million gallons of crude oil was spilled into our environment. Hurricane Katrina, Now we're getting to stuff we all remember, right? Hurricane Katrina, over 1,200 deaths. Hurricane Maria that hit St. Croix in Puerto Rico in 2017. Total deaths, over 3,000. And 9/11. We all remember that day of our trouble, 9/11. Most of us remember where we were, what we were doing. And we remember exactly how we felt when those planes hit those towers and the Pentagon and that field, those four planes. We all remember exactly how we felt. And it was a day of trouble for our nation. During our troubles, we go through these series of emotions. I've just listed a few. Some of you can relate. Denial. We go through a denial phase. Shock. We're just amazed. How many times did you say at 9/11, "I can't believe that happened. I can't believe this happened to our country"? Confusion and moodiness. We experience that a little bit now, I think, as closed up as we are sometime. Not at our house, but I heard about some houses. Anxiety, worrying, panic, jumpiness, guilt, helplessness, depression, anger, feeling unsafe, fatigue, and we want to blame everybody else. So on a day of our trouble, I thought, it was in my devotion, this Psalm 77, and I read that and I thought, that's kind of a directive on what's happening right now. And I don't care what trouble you're affected the most by. We have trouble in our country today. This is not a political message. I am not going to sway you one way or the other. Trust me, I couldn't anyway, right? We all have our minds made up, and that's what we believe is the truth. I want to talk about what God says about our day of trouble. Asaph wrote, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted." When this first happened, whatever happened to Asaph or David or whatever's going on there, that day of trouble, he sought the Lord all night long. He raised his hands to God. He prayed all night long. Remember the day after 9/11? Remember our country? And nobody was offended by prayer then. Everybody turned to God. Well, that's what Asaph did. In the day of my trouble, I turned to God. I turned to him in prayer. I prayed all night long. I lifted my hands. I never got tired for a while, for a little while. Then he goes on to say, "When I remembered God, then I am disturbed." Now he goes from crying out to God all night long and raising his hands to remembering God and being disturbed, or it says, the word means moaning. So now he goes from talking to God to moaning to God, and he says, "Then my spirit grows faint." You see, what happens is we turn to God in our day of trouble, and God doesn't respond or react exactly like we expect him to or the time frame we expect him to do, and we start getting tired and moaning, and our soul grows faint. You ever been there? You ever been there in your day of trouble that you knew, I'll just pray to God and he will answer my prayers and fix my problems like that? But when he chooses not to, when he chooses to wait, then we go to moaning and our soul becomes tired. And then verse 4 says, you have held my eyelids open. You ever been to the point? First I'm crying out to God, now I just can't sleep. I just lay there. You ever been to that point to where your day of trouble, your troubles are so heavy on you that you couldn't sleep? He says, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. So he goes from crying out to God and raising his hands to moaning, and now he can't even speak or sleep. He is whooped. He's done. He doesn't know where to go. We have all been there. Some of us are there right now. We don't know where to go. So Asaph knows exactly what he should do. I'll just blame God. I'll just question him. I'll say, God, you know what? Here's what he says. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. He hadn't blamed God yet. Can we rewind that? He starts longing for the good old days. Oh, man, if it was only September 10th again. If it was only December 6, 1941, that was the day before Pearl Harbor. If it was only that day, if we were back to 2019 again, it would be the good old days. But see, September 10th will never come. After 9/11, we have not been the same since. We will never be like we were on September 10th, ever. Think about it. Think about some of the things that changed since then. Amanda, look what you've done to the airport. Right? You used to be able to walk in with your family and hug them and kiss them, tell them goodbye. Now you got to stop at the gate and they go in and you stand outside. You can't carry a bottle of water with you. Remember when you used to look into the cockpit and watch them fly the plane? You can't do that anymore. Things will never be September 10th again. Things will never be 2019 again, ever. I don't know what it looks like, but I know it will never be 2019 again. The good old days, first of all, some of them weren't that good, were they? We just thought they were. So he says, I've considered the old days, the years of long ago. And then he says, I will remember my song in the night. You have a song that when it comes on the radio, you think takes you back to then, takes you back to the days of bell bottoms and long hair. And I question some of you. I've written them down. I said, did you have a special song? I'm not going to tell you what mine and Candy's is because I say it's our special song. She says, no, it isn't. I talked to Amy. I said, Amy, what's your and Joe's special song? She says, Beautiful Mess. I don't know. I didn't ask for elaborating. Tammy says her special song to Rusty is, You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma. Oh, isn't that sweet? John and Pam, she said he sang it to her. Would you like to? I Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis. I know Chris and Kathy, my son and his wife, is Oklahoma Breakdown. I don't know why, but I know it is. Amanda had a couple, one I won't tell you, and the other one, Endless Love. That's beautiful. I can just see her and Junior dancing to that. The Promise was Carrie and Kevin. Love Will Keep Us Alive. Now, Connie says, that's Connie and Alan. She says they had one for every phase of life. I want to find out later what those are, because I kind of know some of the phases of life they went through. I kind of know some of their days of trouble, and I want to know what songs related to that. And Kathy and Andy said, does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? And I'm not sure what that's about either. But Asaph says, I will meditate in my heart. I will think about the days long gone. He said, and my spirit will ponder. That means I will grab on to it, and I will I will want things to be like they used to be. I preached years ago at my hometown church, and they wanted the church to be like it used to be, like when Grandma was there. And I said, well, the first thing you have to do is take out the air conditioning, and then you have to take out these padded seats. They really didn't want it to be like Grandma's church. They wanted it to be like the good memories that they had of those times, the good old days. And that's what Asaph wanted. That's what we want right now. We want to go right back to 2019, because those were the good old days, or 2018, or whenever. But see, we won't. We won't go back to the good old days. Ever. It'll never be the same. I'm sorry if I'm the first one telling you this, but it'll never be the same. Just like September 10th, after September 11th, it was never the same. So now, Asaph decides to question God's motives. In verse 7, he said, will the Lord reject forever? Forever? Are you gone forever out of our lives? Are you going to reject us forever? And will he never be favorable again? You've heard people ask, has God pulled his hands away from the United States? Will it ever show us favor again? And then in 8 he says, has his loving kindness ceased forever? His loving kindness, his grace, has it ceased forever? God, are you gone? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has his anger, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Asaph's saying, okay, I prayed to you, and I praised you, and that didn't work. Then I got a little discouraged, and I got real discouraged, and then I just started wishing things were like they used to be. And then I want to question you, God, where are you in all of this? Now, I know you all have never been there, but I'm talking about those other people that aren't at church today. We've all been there, haven't we? We all have been there. And I tell you, God has the answer. But this isn't the first time. The disciples question Jesus. In Mark 4:35, it says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd with them, he took him along with them in a boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. It was going down. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. The only person I know in my life that could sleep through a storm like this is my son-in-law. And I hope he's watching this. Junior Beeman could sleep through anything. That's a side note. Didn't cost you anything extra. Next time you see him, you can remind him. And they woke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, God got questioned the same way by Asaph. He says, are you going to draw your grace from us, your loving kindness? Are you going to take away your favor from us? All this promise, are you going to pull it away from us? Is that what's going on here? Is that why we have all the issues going on with the social issues and the health issues and the economic issues? Is that what's happening? Is God pulling it all away from us? Because maybe we've been bad. You see, God doesn't work like that. And Asaph figured it out. He figured it out. In verse 10, he says, "Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. It's because of my grief that I've seen his hand change." Now you think, does God really change? No. But our perception of God has changed. His perception of God changed. See, that speaker there, I can't go past that blue mark. But if that speaker that you can't see on the thing, but if that speaker is God and I draw nearer to God, does that speaker get nearer to me? Yeah, absolutely. Did that speaker move? No. You see, God doesn't move. He doesn't change. As we draw close to Him, He draws close to us. It's just the way it works. But when we turn away from Him and we get farther from Him, He gets farther from us. And we think that His hand moved, but it's our grief that caused us to move. And that's where we are. That's where we are right now. In America, we ask where God is in all of this. What's the plan? What's the future? Are you punishing us? Are you taking it away? We did the same things in New Orleans with Katrina. Oh, Junior just walked in. I'm glad he wasn't here a while ago. But we did the same thing. God's punishing New Orleans for all their sins. That's what all of us righteous people wanted, right? We wanted to show them that, you know, well, now what's going on? But it's because of our grief that we think God's hand is pulling away from us. And then he says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." You see, he starts counting his blessings. He starts realizing what God has done for us, not trying to fabricate what God's doing to us. He's trying to figure it out, and he says, "Oh, wait a minute. It's me that's pulling away. I've got all these things that God has done for me. He's done it for the prophets of old. I've got a record of it right here." And he says, "I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds." That means to ponder them, to just make them part of my thought process. "Your way, O God, is holy. And what God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." You see, God has a plan. God has always had a plan. And we are part of that plan. The Apostle Paul was part of that plan. John the Baptist was part of that plan. Peter was part of that plan. And I don't know if you remember, but it didn't end well for them. John was sent out on an island. John the Baptist was beheaded. Peter was supposedly hung upside down, crucified. But they were part of the plan. So in our day of trouble, in our day of trouble, that we wonder, where's God? He's there. He's in control. He's in control of the coronavirus. He's in control of our social issues. He's in control of our economic issues. He's in control of your issues. You just have to trust Him. Last week I preached up at Seminole, a little church we have up there, and I was talking about the Great Commission, and And as I was talking, something came to me that I just, you ever been reading the Bible and you go, whoa, I never saw that before. That makes so much sense now. I want to tell you. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Let me repeat that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority? All authority. If Jesus has all of the authority, if he has all the authority in heaven and on earth, if he has all the authority, how much does our government have? None. How much does the devil have? None. How much does any other God have? How much authority does anybody else have? How much authority does the coronavirus have? How much authority does anything have? None. Because Jesus Christ has all the authority. I want to tell you, we still live in the greatest country on earth. We still do. And we still serve the greatest God. So my challenge to you today, as we look at our day of trouble, our season of trouble, our life of trouble, whatever the measure is, as we look at that, don't turn away from God. Trust Him. And it's not going to be in your time, but it will be in time, I promise. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I lift up heavy hearts to you here, watching friends, family that we know. That initially they were praising you and calling your name, and then they waned away to questioning you. But Lord, as Asaph wrote and you shared with us in your word, you are the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and you are in control. We can look back and see all the blessings, all the days of trouble that you have taken us through already. And we can be assured that whatever our day of trouble is right now, that you will take us through. In Jesus' name, amen.